probably one of my favorite songs right there. What a day that'll be. And but God's just as much God today as He will be that day. Amen. He really is. John chapter 8 this evening. John chapter 8. Get back into our study of the book of John. I sure have had a time with it today. I went down into the basement to get away and get some quietness. I think the Lord might have let me lose my laptop for just some, get back into some study and get myself refreshed. So had a good time studying, getting things ready for tonight. And this, God showed me some things, and I look forward to passing them along to you and just let you chew on them a little bit yourself. Before we read, I do want to make mention, talking to Brother Terry, I knew it was coming, but it's we lost three of our bus kids this past week. They've moved down to South Carolina, Tavion, his brother and sister, and boy, I'm going to miss them. I really am. The Lord has really seemed to work in their hearts, and just pray, if you will. We're going to try our best to stay in touch and try to get a church there in their vicinity to go and reach out to that family, hopefully, and get them in a good Bible-believing church there. So help us pray about that. All right, John chapter 8. This is one of those, I mean, there's several different stories throughout the book of John that are very familiar, of course, the water to wine, the feeding of the 5,000, different things. But this also is one of the woman at the well. This is probably one, again, those stories that we're going to look at tonight that's very familiar to us. So let's look in verse number 1 of chapter 8. The Bible says, Jesus went up unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11, she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We sure thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity just to be in this place tonight. God, to be around brothers and sisters in Christ, and Lord, to be able to open up the Word of God and to read it and to proclaim truth tonight. God, I pray tonight, Lord, as we study together, as we look at these verses and we try our best to take it word by word and thought by thought, I pray, God, that you'd take our minds, Lord, and help us to focus tonight not on ourselves, not on our situations, but, Lord, help us tonight to see the truth of the Word of God. And, Lord, I pray tonight, God, Lord, that it would make an effect upon our hearts. God, help us not to be just hearers of the Word, but, God, as we hear, help us to be a doer. And, God, I do ask you to be with our youngins tonight, God, as they're in their classes. I pray, Lord, you'll help them. I pray that you'll bless there in a special way. And, God, we just ask most of all, Lord, that you would glorify yourself in this place, Lord. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. For it's in the precious name of Christ we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, thank you for standing. And I'm looking forward to, as we go back into our study here in the book of John. We did take a small break there, but we're going to try to get back on the roll of things. And again, we pretty much know this story probably. We know, again, as we've read through it, we're just going to go, verse by verse and just pick out some things. Verse 8 gives us direction as we see that Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And verse 2 says, And early in the morning he came again into the temple. And let me say this this evening, there's something about that thought of early in the morning. Now, I know in the day that we live in, and I don't mean this to hurt you. I hope I don't hurt you. I don't mean to hurt you. But we have a lot of lazy people. I promise you, if you let your body get used to sleeping late, you'll want to sleep late. Mary's testifying. But it's true. This body, if you'll let it, it'll just lay into bed. But there's something about making yourselves, we have, some of us have an internal clock in us, I think. We get on that schedule, we stay on a schedule like that. And, you know, I still wake up very early. I've always been an early person. Some people are not early persons. My wife is not an early person, but she can stay up till midnight working and doing. I'm not that way. I like to go to bed early so I can get up early. But everybody's different. But there is something to be seen, and we're not going to take time to run scriptures, but many times tonight, or if you run scripture, you'll find that the Lord many times was said of being early in the morning doing something. And it's probably, again, your body's refreshed. Now, I'll raise my hand. I work third shift. John knows all about that. It's a different world. But, you know, I used to try to do a lot of studying and stuff at night. And I don't know about you, but there's something about the Bible and turkey. Makes you sleepy. Thanksgiving, you eat a lot of turkey. What's the first thing you want to do? How many times you start reading your Bible before you know it, your chin's on your chest and your eyeballs is closed? Sort of like a Sunday morning. No, I'm kidding. But in the morning, if you'll rise early, and again, I believe it's always wonderful to start with praying. I pray before I even move my feet out of the bed. But then just to get up and spend time with the Lord and do some praying, do some reading. And here we find that truth again. It was early in the morning, verse number 2, that the Lord came again into the temple. And it says that all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And boy, I'm telling you, I'd like to have been in that classroom that day. That the word taught the word. Wouldn't that be something? And so we find here the Lord is teaching. And as he's teaching, as he's this crowd of people, and I don't know how many would be there. I have no estimate or guess of how many people would have been there that day. But here they are early in the church house, early there around the Word of God. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is standing there before them, teaching and telling them. And I don't know what he was teaching them. It doesn't matter. It had to be right because it was the Lord teaching and it had to be perfect. It was the Lord teaching there. And then verse 3 says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So this picture in your mind again that, you know, this scenario, just again, it'd be very more than what's in here tonight. But we'll try to draw it into a setting maybe like this. And here, the Bible tells us the Lord standing just as I'm trying to stand. I'm not the Lord. But he was standing there before people just like you. And he began to teach them. And I don't know how long he'd been teaching. I don't know how long he'd been presenting the truth unto them. But while he was teaching, the Bible tells us there was some people came busting into the temple that day. Who was it? Well, the Bible tells us it was the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, who are these people? The religious crowd. Again, all through the book of John, you'll find where Jesus is dealing with that crowd. And here they are again. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's telling the truth, and all of a sudden the doors burst open, and here comes in, I don't know how many scribes and Pharisees it was, but again, I believe there were several of those that came busting in. And as they came in, they were dragging a woman. And the Bible tells us something about this woman, that she had been taken, caught in adultery. Now, one thing I want to make sure we get a hold of is why they were doing what they did. Now, as we look, as they come into the church and bring this woman in the midst of the service, and again, I want you to try to imagine if we were sitting here and in the middle of a service as those doors flung open and a group of religious people. Now, this group sitting in the church that day knew who they were. They knew that that was that sect of Pharisees and those scribes. They knew that those were probably some of the most religious people of that day. And as they come in, they're bringing in with them a female. And as they're coming into the building, I believe you could probably hear the of the people. Their mind is instantly drawn away from what the Lord is doing. Their mind is instantly brought over to what they were doing. So as they come in, this woman, again, dragging, I believe, her into this place. I don't believe they were escorting her. I mean, they are bringing her as a convicted woman. I believe they were probably dragging her down the aisle up to that place of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I want you to imagine the uproar. I want you to imagine the chaos that might have taken there. And then they bring her down to the very front where the Lord was standing as He stood there that day with probably something of a tablet, maybe of the Old Testament there, and a sheet of skin there, or something with the Word, I'm sure, as He taught them. And here they come in dragging this woman, and they cast her at His feet. They throw her there, and then they begin to cry out the accusations against this woman. Right in the middle of a church service. Right in the middle of the Word, teaching the Word, religion comes in and casts a poor woman down at the feet of the Lord, and they cry out, she's guilty, she's an adulterer, we caught her in the very act. That's what they said. Now, we're going to look at it in just a moment, but adultery. We're going to look over Deuteronomy just in a little bit and see what the law says. But that's a married woman with someone else besides her husband in this situation. They bring this woman in front of the Lord and cast her at His feet and says, we caught her in the very act of adultery. We'll see in just a moment, and we'll point it out to you. By the law of God, the man that was with that woman was as guilty as that woman. Where was the man? And I believe that's a question we must look at as we go through these things. And again, this thought of adultery, and I know, and again, here we are in 2019, and it saddens me that I'm getting ready to say what I'm getting ready to say. There used to be a time in my day that people frowned at adultery. Not so in our day. The thoughts of marriage does not hold what it used to hold, but God hasn't changed. Marriage is between one man and one woman, and that bed should never be there till after marriage. That's right, preacher. How do you know it's right? Because that's what God said. When a woman that is married partakes in a sexual sin with another man, or vice versa, a married man with another woman, God calls that adultery. And God says it's wrong. And we're going to see what's wrong about it. And again, I know that in our day, it doesn't, you know, well, it's just commonplace. Well, it never should be commonplace. But in their day, this was as good as murder. This was something that everybody knew that was told by God that you shouldn't do. So when these men come in, were dragging this poor woman in front of a church full of people, if you want to call it that, in the temple that day. And as these religious Pharisees and scribes stand there and say, this woman is guilty of adultery. We caught her in the very act. You can imagine. She instantly become dirt. And again, I know it's not that way in our day, but it doesn't change the fact that God says it's supposed to be that way. Well, it happened in my family, preacher. Well, it's still wrong. And if you're here tonight and you've done that, you ought to admit, hey, I was wrong. I'm glad God forgives. I'm glad God will bury that under the sin. But friend, that sin is still sin today as it was in this day. Again, I know that's not popular to most Baptist churches and churches across our land today. But I hope you know that God says it's wrong. So this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And there ought to be some shame. You know, that's something we're missing today. Sin doesn't bring shame. It amazes me how people can live in sin and sit in a pew and listen to the Bible being taught and preached. And there's no shame comes to them. They know they're living in adultery. They know they're living in sin. They know, and again, preacher, are you perfect? I'll be the first to tell you no. But if I know if God shows me something I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, I'm going to do my best to quit doing that and ask God to help me. So this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And they bring her, look with me again, they bring there verse 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And then look again, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law, so they're bringing up the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. And then they say, but what sayest thou? So let's see what the law says. Turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22 this evening. Hold your place here in John. We'll definitely be back. This isn't what the preacher came up with. This isn't what the Baptists say. We didn't vote on this. This is what God Himself gave to the nation of Israel as a law. Deuteronomy chapter 22, look in verse 22 this evening. The Bible says in verse 22 of Deuteronomy chapter 22, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, that's pretty plain, isn't it? It's not, well, that's not, I don't interpret that way. Well, you're stupid if you don't interpret it any other way. I'll just say that. Preacher, you shouldn't say that. Well, I'll just say it. That's just plain simple to me. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both, notice, both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. Verse 23, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of the city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. You see what that is? Here's a damsel, a young woman, a virgin, to be betrothed unto a husband. She's engaged. And a man find her and takes her and forces her and lies with her. God says, then ye shall bring them both out into the gate of the city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, she didn't cry out about it. Being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his humbled his neighbor's wife, so shalt thou put away evil from among you. So that's the law. Again, these Pharisees and scribes, they dragged this woman down in front of the Lord as he stood there teaching that day. And they cry out that the law of Moses, whose law was it? It's God's law. The law of Moses says that we're supposed to stone her. Is that what it said? Did it? Said it's supposed to stone both of them. But they said we're supposed to stone her. Keep that in your mind. Now again, this is the law of God we found here in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Well, preacher, we don't live under law. You're right. We live under grace. I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. But that law is still given. There, as the Lord tells us, there is a schoolmaster. It's there to show us. And what does God tell us about that sin of adultery? He calls it something, doesn't he? Evil. Is that not what he calls it there? Adultery is forbidden by God because it's evil. It's evil because God did something special in Genesis. God calls it evil because God set forth the foundations of the home. God said that a man and a woman, there's one man for one woman, and they're put together in unity, as we'll find, as we'll see Saturday at Chloe's wedding, as God takes a man and a woman and joins them together and unites them and makes them one. And God says if a man or a woman goes against that, He calls that evil. And again, I know that's not popular in our day. I know people today don't care. Today it seems like people are more like animals than they are people. But here God says that adultery is evil. And I believe with all my heart we have many of the problems of our day because we have so far removed ourselves from this truth that God has laid forth of what marriage is supposed to be. Are y'all all right? Okay. And God says that if you commit adultery, He says that's evil. And when God calls something evil, that sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? Now, hold on to that thought, but I want to break off just a moment. Because I want to address something that brings us to today that has nothing to do with adultery. Again, picture in your mind. The Lord is standing before people that day, teaching. In the midst of His teaching, these religious people come in and disturb and disrupt the teaching of God. Don't you think they could have done that a different way? Don't you think we should do things in a decent and right order? Well, let's go back a little further. God says we're supposed to do things in a decent and a right order. But some of you, and I'm not going to point fingers, but you'd be amazed what people do as I stand up here and teach or preach. People do things that disturb other people. We should not do anything while we're in this building that would disturb the teaching or the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm just saying that to help us. I'm not saying that to hurt us. I'm saying that to help us. Why? Because somebody might be under conviction. Somebody might be speaking with God and God speaking with them. And then you do something, boy, today, cell phones. Does it take but one thing to disrupt? Can I help us a little bit further? I was told this many years ago, and I've always stuck this to my barrel. Don't ever, ever, preacher, but I had to. No, you didn't have to. Unless somebody's dying. Don't ever bother the man of God before he gets in the pulpit. You'd be amazed times I get caught between here. It's the reason I don't come out of my office too early. I try to go from there to here. Well, preacher, you ought to shake hands. I'll gladly shake your hand after church. But my mind is fixed. My mind is absorbed in what I want to portray of what God has put upon my heart to preach. And if somebody grabs me and begins to spill their guts out at me or something, it shouldn't be that way. Everybody all right? And here these religious crowd disrupts the teaching or preaching, not of a preacher, of earthly preacher, but God Himself. Yeah. Oh, I'd never do that. Really? So, there you go. There's something there that we won't charge you extra, as they say. Do you think that religious crowd that day, those Pharisees and scribes, do you think they cared about that woman?
No.
No. They didn't care about the temple either. They had one thing in mind, and I'm going to show you that, and that one thing is to get at Christ. That's the whole purpose of this whole thing. Verse 5 says, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" Again, they're not concerned about the law. They're wanting Christ to make a statement, or they're wanting Christ to agree, or they're wanting Christ to step out of the way and They want to do something there that will cause him to make a decision that might get him to the place that the people will go against him. If they were concerned, again, who are the ones that brought this woman before Jesus? If they were concerned about the law, and they caught this woman and a man, if they did, I don't know if it was true or not. They might have, you know, might have been what Trump calls false news. I don't know that she actually was. But if they were really concerned about the law, and they are the religious leaders of that day, why didn't they just take care of the problem when they found it? But they didn't, did they? Because that's not their objective. All they wanted is to see if Jesus would act according to the law or go against it. Verse 6 gives us their motive. Look at verse 6. This they said, notice what? Tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. So their whole purpose, again, they didn't care about this woman. They didn't care if she lived or died. They surely didn't care about the ongoings of the temple that day. They didn't care if the law was upheld. They did this, wanting to tempt him that they might accuse him. So then we go from the onset of this story to, wow, look what something's getting ready to happen. The Bible says, then said they, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus, not the preacher, he probably wouldn't have done that. Probably not you either, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now look at the Lord. Here they come in as he's teaching. And in the midst of his teaching, this uproar comes from the back. And as they drag this poor woman down here and slam her down on the ground and say, this woman was taken in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says we're to stone her. But what say you? And the Lord said nothing, did he? The Bible tells us here that he stooped down and began to write on the ground. Now again, where's he at? He's in the temple. He stoops down and begins to write. Now listen, I know. I've preached this many times. I've heard people say what they think he wrote. I've heard people say he probably wrote their names. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe he wrote the Ten Commandments. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe he drew a smiley face. I don't know. What I want to tell you is you don't know either. But can I give you something that I think will tickle your taste buds a little bit? Again, let's review. The Lord did what? He stooped down and began to write on the ground. Hold your place in John chapter 8 and go with me to the book of Numbers. We read in Deuteronomy the law. God said that if a man and a woman is found in this act of adultery, he says you should stone both of them. Look in Numbers chapter 5. And here we find the Lord in John 8. Being presented a woman by herself, accused of adultery, and religion is saying, stone her. And the Lord stoops down and begins writing on the ground. Numbers chapter 5 this evening, look in verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying to them, if a man's wife go aside, and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept closed. You know, it wasn't aired. They're doing this behind the scenes. They're running in the darkness of sin. Be closed, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, she might not have done it. Sometimes husbands are jealous husbands and just think she's doing something. So if she did it and there was no witness, or if her husband thinks she did it and she didn't do it, see, God's thorough, isn't he? There's no loopholes. This isn't taxes. Verse 15 says, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an eath of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust of that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it into the water. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say unto the woman, if no man hath lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside into uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causeth the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, if thou be defiled and some man hath lain with thee beside thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing, and the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and of an oath among thy people, when the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. And this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. Now, what's the difference between Deuteronomy chapter 22 and Numbers chapter 5? Is that not a good question? They're both dealing with what? Adultery. Deuteronomy chapter 22 talks about if a man and a woman are caught, the law said to stone them. Numbers chapter 5 doesn't say that, does it? Numbers chapter 5 says if a woman is charged with adultery, or if a man thinks she's committing adultery, they are to be brought before the priest, and the priest will take the holy water and dust off the floor of the temple and put it in that vase or whatever it was, and he would charge that woman. If she had not committed adultery, the curse was taken away from her. But if she drank that water mingled with the dust of the floor of the temple, and she had committed adultery, God said she would be cursed. The rotting of her thigh and the swelling of her belly. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Now, again, reminding us of what took place in John chapter 8. These men bring a woman to the Lord, charging her with adultery. They say that the law says we're supposed to stone her. Is that true? This isn't a trick question. Is that true? No. Why? It was just the woman. Where was the man? Now, if they wanted to be truth with the law, they wouldn't have went to Deuteronomy chapter 22. They would have went to Numbers chapter 5 and dealt with her in that aspect. But instead, they went to that place of wanting the Lord to be tempted and say, yeah, that's what the law says, and pick up a stone and kill her. Don't you think God knew the law better than they did? It's amazing how people like to manipulate the Bible. Well, the Bible says, does it? Are you sure about that? Well, I know God. Do you really? I believe God says what He said in the Bible, not in your head. If it don't line up with the book, He didn't tell you that either. And people like to manipulate the Bible. And here's a bunch of religious people trying to manipulate the law of God in front of God. Now let's bring it even a little bit more. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 22 says, man, woman, do what? Stone them. Numbers chapter 5 says, if a woman's brought before an accusation, to bring her before the priest. And then did you notice what the priest would do? Man, if you could just get this. What was the Lord doing in John chapter 8? He stooped down and did what? Wrote in the ground. Did you read anything in Numbers chapter 5 about what that priest was getting ready to do? He's getting ready to take the dust off the ground of the temple. Don't you know them old boys? When the Lord didn't pick up a rock and He reached down to the dust, don't you know they got slapped right smack dab in the face? Oh no, He knows. Do you see it? I don't know what He wrote. He might have wrote about Numbers chapter 5 of what God said about a woman that was accused of adultery and how the priest was supposed to take water and the dust. It wasn't just any dust, was it? Where did it come from? The floor of where? In John 8, where was the Lord? In the temple, wasn't He? You want to see something else interesting? Look back at Numbers chapter 5. In John 8, these men brought this woman that was supposedly caught in adultery in the very act and brought her to the temple to who? The Lord. Now, look back here in Numbers chapter 5. And look at verse number 16. The Bible says, and the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. Verse 18, and the priest shall set the woman before the Lord. John 8, where did they set her? Before the Lord. All the way back in Numbers chapter 5, they were setting her before the Lord. Here in John chapter 8, this religious crowd didn't know what they were doing, but they set her right in front of the Lord. What a Bible. What a book. And again, can you imagine the conviction? Can you imagine when all, again, these were educated religious men. The Pharisees and the scribes. What was a scribe? They wrote. They copied the Old Testament. They knew it, I'm sure. And I'm sure when all this began to play out in front of them and it came to their heart, and we'll see what happens, they got slapped right in the face. And again, I believe what conviction that must have been on these men that were misusing the Scriptures. Look at verse 7 of John chapter 8. Again, picture in your mind, they brought this woman before the Lord, and They say she's been caught in adultery, and they say the law says you're supposed to stone her. They ask him, what sayest thou? They did it, verse 6, try to tempt him to get him so they could accuse him. He stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, you know that's what the world does. They never let up, do they? They didn't just say it one time. The Lord bent down and did whatever he did in the dust. I don't know what he wrote. But he appeared to them that they didn't hear him, and they just continually pressed upon him. And you better go ahead and write her down in your soul that this world is not going to let up on you. You can't let your guard down. You can't stop for a moment. You've got to continually put on the whole armor of God, because they're going to continue, just like we see here in verse number 7, they're going to continue pressing and pressing and pressing. And so verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he speaks. And what words when he speaks? He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Probably verse number 9 is one of the most missed things of our day. There seems to be no conviction in the hearts of people today. You see what happened? The Word spoke the Word. And when the Word spoke those little words, what did He say? He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That's all He said. And Him saying that little bit of Scripture there, something happened in the hearts of those people that we are so blind to today. They heard it. And that's the key. People today, it amazes me. I tell my wife all the time, that bulletin is a waste of time. Nobody reads it. Well, I read it, preacher. I get up here and announcements. They're useless. Why? Because nobody listens. I've announced things for a month before somebody come up. Preacher, what about this? Where have you been? People sit through services after services, and somebody probably tonight, you're sitting here and you're zoned out into another world. You're here, but you're not hearing. They heard. And thank God of that truth. What did they hear? Hello? 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 What did they hear? Did they hear the birds? They heard God speak the Word of God. And that's what it takes. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. What happened here that day? They heard the Word of God. Notice what it does. Verse 9, it says, and they heard it. First of all, being what? Convicted. Most people today are never convicted. It's always somebody else's fault. Oh, it's not that bad. But when the Word of God is heard in your soul, when you hear God put His finger on your heart, and you realize and you know that you are wrong and you are in sin, you'll be convicted. But until you hear God speak, you'll walk aimlessly around this world in the darkness of sin and never be bothered. I'd be very scared. But when they heard God, when they heard the Word of God, the Bible says, first of all, they were convicted. Oh, I wish we sing more of that today. What happens after the conviction? Look at it. And they which heard it, being convicted by what? Their own conscience. Them people that day, those men that day, God stood there that day. The Lord stood there teaching. They drug her in front of him, upset the whole crowd. Here he is pushed right in front of them. These religious crowd is pushing. What are you going to do? 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 And the Lord spoke, and immediately they were convicted, and something happened down in the depths of their soul through their what? Conscience. Boy, people's consciences are so seared today. Don't bother them. But it bothered them that day. When's the last time you got bothered? Not by the rock in your shoe and not by the neighbor next door, but when's the last time God bothered you? When's the last time the Word of God convicted you in your own conscience? When they heard it, they knew they were guilty. It brought a hurt. It brought a shame to their own soul. And we lay right beside a sin and it doesn't even bother us. But it hurt these people that day. They knew they were wrong. But wait, let's see another truth. Look what happens. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. What just happened? Were these people not convicted? Were they not? Were they not bothered by their sin? Sure they were. They knew what was wrong and it bothered them. But what did they do? They turned away from who? The Lord. And did what? And walked away. You know, that's what most people do. Instead of running to God and getting forgiveness, when they're convicted, they turn away from God and run away from Him. So sad. Notice also in these verses there, in verse 9, it says, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. It didn't just affect some, did it? It affected all. From the oldest to the youngest, from the richest to the poorest. That's the power of the Word of God. True conviction. True Holy Ghost conviction. I wish we had more of it today. Verse 9 again, Jesus says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11, what a verse. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And again, what a wonderful verse. What a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, all those ones that had done so wrong and here stood alone, that poor young lady or that poor middle-aged lady or that poor old woman with God, with the Lord in her. And the Lord asked her where her accusers were. And hath no man condemned thee? And she said again, no man, Lord. Notice again, Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. And let me point this out. You'll be amazed that people that quote that verse and try to justify their sin and say, well, God said she'd be all right. Is that what God said? No, that wasn't a period there, was it? He says, neither do I condemn thee. Then what? Go and sin no more. See, we think 1 John 1:9, that's in the book. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's just go sin today, claim the verse, go sin tomorrow, claim the verse. That's not how it works, friend. I'm glad God forgives, and He does. But God told this woman she had sinned. Go sin no more. So again, we need to get the whole story. I wish I had more time here. We're going to wait. This is too good to push out. We'll finish this little part next Wednesday. We're going to look at this woman and what the Lord did for this woman. Well, preach, we just seen all that. No. There's something bigger in them verses that I got Jesus measles when I was looking at this morning. Tune in next week, as Paul Harvey would say, and we'll hear the rest of the story. Let's stand together this evening.